Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 265 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. In this episode, we look at India's win versus England in the last and final test match and discuss all major talking points. India completed a thumping 4-1 series win against the visiting England side with an innings and 64 runs in Dharamshala on Saturday. After posting 477 in their first innings, India dismissed England for the second time in the fifth and the final test, 218 and 195, to complete the rout inside 3 days. Spurred on by some individual performances, India fought back from 0-1 to retain the Anthony Di Melo trophy. In the Hyderabad series opener, India suffered a 28-run defeat, but the hosts were at their home best when they thrashed the Three Lions in Visakhapatnam by 106 runs, in Rajkot by 434 runs, and in Ranchi by 5 wickets. Then Dharamshala beckoned, and the finale witnessed Indian players playing their best with skipper Rohit Sharma leading from the front. Ravichandran Ashwin, arguably India's greatest match winner in the format, celebrated his 100th test win with 9 wickets. On the podcast today, joining us for the discussion, we have Lakshit Singhal. Lakshit is a lawyer by profession and a cricket writer and content creator by passion. He runs his cricket content platform by the name Cricket Field Chronicles, which covers unheard and lesser known cricket stories, classic and contemporary cricket book reviews, and recommendations and personal reflections about the latest happenings from the world of cricket. He has been writing about sport for almost 10 years now and has been published by leading sport websites like Sportskeeda. Besides law, entrepreneurship, and sports, he shares an equal passion for food and travel. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Lakshit. Welcome back to Never on the Backfoot podcast. It is a journey, you know, we've had through the series, right? Right from the first test, discussing everything, you know, now we are at the end of this journey, you know, discussing the fifth test that has been quite special for you, I suppose, right? Because you've had this golden opportunity to watch the match live at Dharamshala. So how would you describe your experience and everything that just transpired?
Hi, Neha. First of all, thank you so much for having me again. And as you rightly said, this has been a great experience interacting with you, having this conversation with you over the course of 5 test series. So from that point of view, yeah, I think thank you so much for giving me the opportunity and platform. Now coming to the fifth test. Yes, I was in Dharamshala. I watched the game live on all the 3 days. And I have to say it, I think it was a memorable experience, fascinating, truly amazing. I think I went to Dharamshala for the first time during last year for the World Cup. I attended a couple of games, including the India and New Zealand game there. And ever since, I think Dharamshala has become my go-to venue for watching cricket. It's just so amazing out there. The weather, it's just perfect. The views, the whole vibe, the whole atmosphere, it's so incredible. And this time around, since this was a test match, yes, it was different from the last time. But again, I think it was just a delight to watch the game and watch the game so close, interacting with the English fans in the stadium. I think overall, I think it was just an amazing experience. And hopefully, I'll continue my journey to Dharamshala whenever we have a game there.
Exactly. I mean, you know, most of us were vicariously living through, you know, being in Dharamshala through your story. So thank you so much for that. And absolutely, you know, when you look at Dharamshala as a venue as well, you know, it's such a special place. And, you know, such great things have happened to Indian cricket there, you know, in the recent past as well. Now, again, you know, looking at this test, you know, ahead of the test, we had this whole interview, you know, from BCCI on Ashwin completing his 100 tests. So how would you look at, you know, Ashwin's career, everything he has achieved, and wow, what a legacy, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think this was one of the reasons as well of me wanting to attend this game live, because this was sort of a milestone game with both these players, both these bowlers playing their 100 tests. And also Jimmy Anderson was on the verge of achieving the milestone of clearing 700 wickets and becoming the first fast bowler to do so. So from that point of view, also I think this was quite you can say a milestone match. Now coming to Ashwin, I think he has had a stellar career, and his entire journey, his entire growth, it's been phenomenal. I think he's one of those bowlers who's reinvented himself throughout the years and has never let any dominate him. I think that has been his most you can say significant achievement. And he's such a sharp brain, sharp mind. Whenever he's in the field, he's such an astute reader of the game that I think he's also an asset for the team and for the captain. I think from all those points of view, I think that makes Ashwin an indispensable part of the team. I sometimes feel sad for him that he hasn't been considered as much as he should have been for overseas games. But let's, I think, for what he has achieved in whichever games he has played, I think he has been just phenomenal. And I really hope that he continues to do so and not let age and this whole talk of age dominate him or basically pressure him. Because yes, he's 37, but I think he still has a few more years of game left in him. So I think he should just continue from here on. He can achieve a lot more. We have been talking about how he was not at his best in this series, and despite that, he was India's highest wicket taker as well. So that just shows that how instrumental he is in the team and what a phenomenal bowler he is. So yeah, I really hope that he continues to just play and not let the talk of age distract him.
I completely agree with you on that. And who better to take inspiration from, right? Jimmy Anderson, man, is certainly aging like fine wine. And we will talk about him a little later on in our episode. And I think another interesting moment in this match is, you know, how we had Devdutt Padukone make his debut. So how happy were you with his inclusion? And, you know, the kind of performances he's been raking up in domestic cricket certainly warranted this, you know, call-up, right?
So yes, I think DDP was at some point ready to make his debut into the team, and it couldn't have been a better place, a better wicket, better conditions for him to make his debut. And he also demonstrated that when he was batting. It was, if you watch that, I have seen him play in domestic cricket as well as in the IPL, and he just felt like he belonged here. So from that point of view, yes, I think it was a good debut, it was a good start, and I think it's just the beginning for these youngsters. There have been so many debuts in this whole tour. I really will want to see them more, especially now when we'll be touring abroad. I think that's where the test of these youngsters will come in. So I think yes, that's a good start for him, and looking forward to watching more of him.
Definitely, and all the information of his potential was on display right in this match, especially in that first innings. But again, we will talk about it when, you know, when we look at India's innings at large. Now, even England won the toss, opted to bat first. So again, a simple, straightforward decision, and perhaps the right one they could take.
Yes, absolutely, Neha. I think this was a good toss to win, I would rather say. And it was England who completely could not take advantage of it. This was such a good wicket to bat on. That 218 just doesn't feel right. And the squash, in the batting, it was only Crawley who we could see was just trying to be there and was trying to. Was basically comfortable at the wicket. Apart from him, no other batter just tried to stay on the wicket or just tried to apply themselves. I'm not sure what this whole approach has suddenly become. I'm not sure what they were trying in their head, because at the end of the day, I understand you're playing a particular brand of cricket. But I think even then, you just need to come and spend time at the wicket. I have said this many a times before, also in my conversations. And this applies to both the teams. But I think from England's point of view, the batters just haven't applied themselves. They were just coming in and trying to slog. Some of them didn't even give themselves a time to come and settle themselves. So yeah, I think it was a very good toss to win, but it was England's, you can say, poor application or poor batting could not take advantage of that. And that is where they lost the game as well. Because 208 and 18 in the first innings on this wicket was never going to be sufficient. And that's what India showed as well when this piled up 477. So, yeah, I think a lot of learnings for England. And hopefully, we'll see better. This is what we have been hoping for so many years now.
Exactly. A fair contest is what we definitely hope for. And as you rightly pointed out, England did not have the most ideal first innings. And that's why, you know, Zach Crawley's knock becomes really important. Like, even if you observe him through the series, man has always delivered, right? With those crucial half centuries and, you know, not being able to convert them to something big is something I think that will sting him. So how would you assess his performances through the series and perhaps the only like shining light for England in that batting department?
Yes, absolutely. I think the best batter for England in this series. He was a guy who actually looked, who just wanted to play there, wanted to spend time there. From technique point of view, yes, there were areas where he could improve. But overall, if we see the amount of temperament that he showed, I think there was a lot of persistence. There was a quite bit of stroke play as well there, somewhere in between those defenses. So, I think, yeah, overall, I think he was England's best batter. And certainly, I think this is one of the positives which England bringing back home now.
Definitely, because it's been such a challenging series for them. They definitely want to, you know, take some positives away. Now, even when you look at India's first innings after posting 477, it was quite memorable, right? You had so many batters, you know, kind of step up and just make their mark. So what did you make of these performances and watching it live, you know, how was it cheering for our batters score those runs?
Well, it was incredible, Neha. I have to tell you, this was I think an experience which was totally different from whatever I had seen before. I have been to a few test matches before in the Border Gavaskar Trophy as well. But I think this was something else because, of course, it was the views. But apart from that, also, I think the quality of Indian batting, starting from Rohit Sharma, Shubman Gill, Sarfraz, you have Devdutt, you have Jurel. I think all of these guys somewhere stood up and each of them showed their class. Each of them were they showed that what potential they can have. And I think it was just an amazing experience to watch these guys bat live. There were some of the shots which I think I will always remember when I watched them live. I think Sarfaraz played a few of them to Mark Wood. Rohit's shots, some of them to Mark Wood again. I think they were delightful. I think Jaiswal as well. I think I really have been wanting to watch him bat live for a long time now. And now having done that, I think he's just amazing. The amount of stroke play, I think he's one of those 360 degrees player who has so much of, you can say, shots in his bag that it's difficult to sometimes contain him. And that's what he should. So even Gill, for that matter, I think he scored a brilliant century. He also played, I think, that one shot to Jimmy Anderson straight to his head for six. I think these are some of the shots which are going to stay with me. I feel incredibly privileged and lucky to have been able to watch these. And yeah, I think it was, I think, a dream come true for me to watch all these batters live and just showing the class altogether.
Definitely. And also, you know, I think you must have been very lucky to see someone like a Jimmy Anderson in live action, right? Now, he picked up 700 wickets, which was another big, big talking point from this test match. Again, just looking at the kind of career he's had, I don't know, like sometimes just run out of adjectives, right, to describe him. And man clearly showing no intent to retire anytime soon, you know, single-handedly carries the weight of that England bowling attack. So how would you look at Jimmy Anderson on this surface?
Well, I don't think he's a human. I think he's just unbelievable. So I think this happened on the second day of the test in the last hour or so. After he picked up his 699th wicket and everybody was hoping that 700 is coming soon. But Stokes were just not giving him the ball. It was the spinners who were bowling. And we had till the last, just in case Stokes gives him the ball and he might pick up a wicket. And we just didn't want to lose out on that experience, but it didn't. And then it was the first 15 minutes of the in the morning of the D3. Very grabbed that 700th wicket, and I have to tell you, Neha, what an incredible atmosphere, what an experience that was. I think I somehow feel a very small part of this history. I think 700 wickets for a fast bowler, I'm not sure if this is going to happen ever again. Because I think fast bowling is just inhuman. It is something which takes so much toll on your body. It's just very difficult for anyone to play those number of matches. He has played 187 games, and he just doesn't look like stopping anytime soon. It's just sometimes mind-boggling for me to even say those numbers, because it's not human for someone to do that. And that was, I think, when he reached that milestone, when he edged Kuldeep, and the way the whole stadium erupted, the whole English fans, the Bami army, the way they erupted, I think it was just an incredible once in a lifetime experience, and I'm going to cherish it forever. I feel, again, as I said before, incredibly privileged and lucky that I was there in the stadium watching Jimmy Anderson live when he picked up that 700th wicket. That's, I think, something I'm going to remember for my life now.
Wow, you just explained that so beautifully, and really fair points you bring in there. You know, Jimmy Anderson is certainly one of a kind, and I think we're all really lucky to, you know, be living in his era, man. Matlab, he just, you know, gets better with time, and I hope we get to see a lot more of him going ahead. And again, you know, looking at England's second innings, we saw some very bizarre batting, but we still had resistance, you know, shown by the likes of Joe Root, Jonny Bairstow. But besides that, also, do you think it was again a very disappointing show where somewhere they just could not stand up, and the same horrors of the four tests that, you know, we've been discussing time and again just kind of unfolded and repeated?
Yes, Neha, it was disappointed, of course. I think no, like, I think a test match getting over in just 2.5 days, it's disappointing in itself. And England batters just haven't been able to apply themselves. It's as simple as that. I think when you're coming to India, this is something I think now the teams who are touring India need to acknowledge, that they have to start playing spin. And by I just don't mean it that you just try to play it, or just try to come up with a few batters who can play spin. No, I think technically spin has to become a go-through, you can say, in their training or something, which they incorporate in batting, because that's the only way when of like by you can come to India and try to dominate the Indian team. Because India with all those spin they have, it's just so good. It's just I think I have to say, this is impossible for the touring teams to come and dominate us. Yes, we have had a few losses here and there, but again, I think if you see on the overall, we have just dominated so much at home that it feels sometimes the teams are touring, that whether we are going to get a contest or not. It was the same last time around when Australia toured us for the Border Gavaskar Trophy, and even this time around, after that first game, there were hints that this might be something new. The England might be coming up with the challenges for the team, but the way last four tests have progressed, it's been total disappointment. The batters never felt comfortable, never looked comfortable that they are understanding the way the ball is spinning. So it's very simple. I think they have to acknowledge it. They need to start playing spin. They need to just get that into their trainings if you really want to become a world-beating team. And yeah, I think that's the only way this could be done.
Definitely. And also, you know, looking at this aspect, now there's some banter, right, between Sarfraz, Jurel, Gill, and Bairstow. So, talk us through that. And, you know, watching it from the stands also, what did you just make of everything that was kind of unfolding there in the middle?
So from the stands, Neha, it wasn't clear what was happening. I had to come back and see it on the television of what transpired between those three at that moment. But after I went through that, I think one thing has become clear, that whenever anyone or any team just tries to go against Anderson in the England team, I think that just rises them up like anything else. This I've seen even when India toured England. I think it was in 2018. When the whole Indian team went against or behind Anderson, and that just riled them up like anything. So this is a trend, like this is something which I've been seeing And I'm not sure what's the reason behind it, but whenever someone tries to go behind Anderson, that just trials them. And I think that's what happened with Days 2 as well on that one. But yeah, I think it was I think it was a good banter. The series needs some of these banters to keep it exciting, to keep it enthralling. But from the stands, I think it's difficult to get hold of what was happening. So I had to wait for it. But then all's well. That ends well, and I think we should keep these banters going. That's that just keeps the whole you can say the contest exciting. Otherwise, just playing just too much of friendly cricket sometimes gets boring as well.
Right. And I mean, as long as it's respectful and it's just banter, that's perfectly fine. Because when it goes to that next level sledging, well, that's when things get really heated up. And even looking at India's bowling, right, in that second innings, now again, you had Ashwin's Pfeiffer that, really stole the show. So how would you assess India's bowling?
I think India has been phenomenal in the bowling department throughout the series, and nothing was different here in Dharamshala. I think getting a team out on 218 on a pitch that was so conducive to batting, that just shows the quality of our bowling lineup. I think Kuldeep, Ashwin, Jadeja, these three have been such an instrumental part of our bowling lineup. I think the way Kuldeep bowled Ashwin, I think we have talked about him before as well, but I think the way Kuldeep bowled, he was so difficult to pick for the English batters. The way he was spinning, the way he was setting them up as well, the way he set up Days 2 in the first innings. I think that says something which deserves praise in itself. The way he varies his pace, the way he varies his line, the way he sets the batsman up. I think he was brilliant, and that has been the case with our bowling lineup. So yeah, I think. Again, I think bowling has been the reason, like a major reason, I would say, for why we have been dominating at home. And I really hope we continue to do so in years to come.
Certainly, because when you look at how India won the series comfortably, also, are there any other major learnings, positives, and takeaways you'd like to, move forward with? Because the series has been incredibly special, although, it seems the scoreline feels very one-sided. There are still things, that India would want to take away that has actually worked out well for them. So, any that's coming right at the top of your mind?
Yes, I think one of these which I've also mentioned before, but I'll have to repeat that again because I saw that happening in Dharamshala as well. I think the way we lose these wickets in the cluster is something which needs to be worked upon. This is something really which has been happening with us for a long time now. And we were able to somehow minimize the effect of it because we were in a good situation. But this has been happening for a long time now. I remember we were something around 275 for one, and we folded for 477. And the way just wickets, and out of those, I think the last 50 or 60 runs came from Bumrah and Kuldeep. So you can just see how wickets fell in a heap, or for like something which was not. You can say feasible in a situation where we would have been not in a comfortable position. So yeah, I think this is one of the areas which we really need to figure out and work upon of why this has been happening. Apart from that, I think I'm not sure why we lose the first test of every series. I thought that this is a phenomenon which happens abroad only, but I have been seeing this happening in India as well. So I think I'm not sure what the reason is this. I'm completely unsure about it, but I think yeah, these are a few of the areas which we can work upon. Apart from that, also I feel I think captaincy point of view, I think. Rohit been good, yes, but I think there's still a lot of scope for improvement. I feel that sometimes he gets into this defensive mode and the whole team just waits for something to happen. This time we were able to escape it, or we have been able to escape it now over the years because the team you can say weren't in a position to dominate us. But I still feel that we should just try to close the game or just try to seize the opportunity whenever it comes and not wait for the other team to make the mistake. So I think yeah, these are a few of the areas which I have figured out while watching the series, which can be worked upon and can be improved.
Certainly. And also, reflecting on your top five moments from this test series. I mean, this can be from both sides. Any thing that's coming again, flashing right in your mind?
Okay, so yeah, it's been a long series. I'm not sure if I'll be able to recall five, but yeah, I think there are some of very special moments that happened. So beginning with, I think yes, I think Yashasvi Jaiswal making his debut and having an incredible series, 712 runs. It's I think it's a mammoth achievement for the youngster. Had England not played the way they did, he would have definitely gone past Sunil Gavaskar's tally of 774, which itself is in a record. And so I think that definitely has to be on the top for me. Second one, if I have to mention, I'll go with, you can say, Ravichandran Ashwin again, as I said before. Despite not being at his best, he was India's leading wicket taker. And also, I think one of the points which even Rahul Dravid mentioned, that the way he went back to his family during the fourth test and then came back before even the test got over. I think that is something which is really inspiring in many in many ways. And also, I think that shows a lot of commitment to the game. So that I will also, I think, put up second on the list. Then third, which I would like to mention about, I think Kuldeep. I think Kuldeep has been a revelation in this series. He, I think, picked up 19 wickets. Apart from that, also, I think the way he batted is something which stood out for me. He also, and not only just that, he also fielded beautifully throughout the series. So I think this was a series, you can say this was coming of age for Kuldeep Yadav, I think the overall cricketer, because I have seen Kuldeep getting, you can say, ignored or silent because Akshar was always preferred over him because of his batting and fielding abilities. And just seeing Kuldeep work on that and then basically executing that as well successfully, I think that shows how serious about Test cricket he is, and also how much he really wants to play to for that team. So I think that really stood out for me. And definitely, I think I'll have to mention about Jim Anderson 700, as I think I've talked about it in detail before. It's incredible. It's something which I'm not sure if it's going to be broken or be achieved again for a fast bowler to achieve that sort of milestone. So that again, I think I'll have to put in this list. So yeah, I think these are a few of the moments which are coming to my mind right now of which stood out for me in this series. I'm sure there'll be many more of them. But yeah, I think these four I'll like to mention right now.
Definitely, they are the top moments. And now with this win, right, India goes to the top of the rankings, not just in like tests, but ODIs and T20s also, we see ourselves right at the top. So again, a deserved feat and something massive for us to celebrate.
It is. I think full credit to the boys. We have been playing some good cricket all around, and I think this is for them. But I really hope now that we take this win and try to convert it into an ICC trophy, which has been missing in our kit for a very long time now. I think all this effort culminates into that particular win. Not to take away from the performances and effort that they have been putting in all these series, but I think at the end of the day, when you reach that final and when you're not able to cross the final hurdle, I think somewhere the whole effort, you can say, it doesn't get acknowledged that much. So I really hope that this time around, when if we are able to make, I hope we make it to the WTC final, and when we are playing that final, I think we cross the final hurdle and get that trophy back home, because I think that the whole effort that we have been putting in here, I think it culminates into that. So yeah, I think that should be the goal now. We have and now we just need that final, you can say, crossing the hurdle where we are able to get that ICC trophy. So yeah.
Certainly. And as much as, we celebrate India's achievements and all of this test series win and everything, but how do you see England, kind of regroup from this loss and actually come back stronger in this World Test Championship cycle? Because somewhere, they've just lost steam and they clearly seem to struggle in subcontinent conditions. So I think this was a discussion thread, that we did have in our previous episodes as well. Like, should they probably come over and play more A tours, have exhibition matches or so, so they get acclimatized to the conditions. But what do you think can, be a quick fix or something they can definitely invest in?
So I don't think that there is a quick fix to this solution. I think this requires a strategic approach where if they really are serious about this, because see, if we talk about India playing overseas a couple of decades before, we weren't that good in playing in seeming conditions or fast paced conditions. But we invested, but we made a roadmap, we made a strategic plan for that of how we are going to tackle it. And today we are a working team. We can go to any country and we are not even we just don't basically try and draw there. We just try to win now. So I think this similarly, I think England needs to do somewhat on the same lines. They need to have a strategic approach to this. If they are going to play in subcontinent conditions, they really need to invest into spinners for that matter. Now if we look at this tour only, they bought three spinners with themselves, but all three of them were completely inexperienced and they had to resort to Joe Root bowling for them in the first four games. I think that speaks for itself of how underprepared they were or how they had an idea of how they are going to challenge the Indian batters. So I think this will require a long-term approach and investment. Also, I think the point you mentioned about playing more practice games, more tour games, that is certainly, I think, going to be helpful. This is something they should be looking at, not only before the start of the series, but if at any point of time they can do this. I think that is one of the ways of how you can adapt to the conditions. Because flexibility, I think, in test cricket is very important. You cannot be rigid. You cannot be fixed in your mind. You cannot go into the field with a set fixed set strategy and not be flexible to change it if the conditions require. More so in sub, you can say in Asian conditions. So yeah, I think they have to start investing in basically in spinners and have to come up with a strategy of if they're willing to come and win here. With regards to WTC, I think I'm not. I don't think so. They're going to make it to the finals, considering their current position now. And I have no idea of what they're trying to do at this moment because their approaches and their whole, you can say, execution looks contradictory in many ways. So yeah, I think lot for them to figure out. This is something I think they'll go back home and try to figure out before the Ashes, because the Ashes I think is going to be another crucial, you can say a journey, a crucial series for them. So definitely I think they'll try to figure this out before the Ashes, and hopefully and certainly I really hope so that whenever next time they tour India, we see a more competitive side, who basically try to who are able to put up a fight and not just let away the games to drift away. So yeah, let's see if we can get something better in the future.
That's actually true. And I think another major point of discussion has to be how England really never let India take advantage in the first innings, and they always kind of pushed for that collapse. So what are your thoughts on this, and also any other positives or top performers that England can perhaps take away and build on?
I think, see, we have talked about Zach Crawley. I think he was the best batter. This is something which would really give them confidence, certainly. Ollie Pope showed hints of, you can say, brilliance at 196 that he scored in the second test. So, yeah, there have been, you can say, hints of performances, but more or less, I think they will need to come together as a unit and try to play together as a team. That's the only way I think they can win matches. If we talk about individual performances, or you can say individual performances, there'll be many. I think Joe Root in the later stages of the series got very good. He was amazing in Dharamshala as well. I think It was quite good to watch him bat. Very technically sound batter. I think he is the most technically sound batter in the team right now. And the way India dominated him in the initial tests, that showed that they were so well prepared that they knew who to target and they were able to do that successfully. And that also became one of the reasons of why England could never get ahead of the game. So I think, yeah, individual performances we can talk about. There were many for England. But together, I think as a team, they need to just regroup and find that combination or find that balance where they can just try and put pressure on their team so that they start winning.
Fair enough. And another interesting thing that we really have to discuss is how Jayashree, right, announced that Test cricket incentive scheme. And now in the recent past also, we've seen this insistence on playing the Ranji Trophy and the whole discourse around that. So what are your thoughts on these welcome steps, that's kind of being taken for for the whole ecosystem of Test cricket in India?
Well, I think this is a wonderful initiative, and this was, I think, it was time that this was done because until unless I think the administrators step in, prioritizing or telling cricketers to prioritize Test cricket, it was something which was going to diminish away at some point of time because I think with the whole T20 cricket and franchise cricket now coming over, Test cricket was finding a bit difficult. For itself to survive between all that cricket happening. So I think welcome move. I think very, you can say, very much, very much required as well. And I really hope to see benefits of it. It's still in the initial stages, so we'll have to see how this plays out and how much impact does it have. But yeah, definitely, I think very much needed and a welcome move from the BCCI.
Certainly. And even for the growth of Test cricket, do you believe Test series like this are ideal? Because I think a lot of critics argued, the matches felt very one-sided, even though the pitches were much better than the ones we'd usually throw at our visitors. So where do you find yourself in the argument? And it's time, right? We get done with this whole pitch discourse and just focus more on the cricket.
Definitely, I think when it's time that we get this whole discussion about pitches out of the discussion. Yes, I think the pitches were very good this time around. But I think we need to start talking about the cricket, about the skill set, about the strategies, you can say. I think the discourse has to be different. It cannot be about the pitch. And unfortunately, it is about the pitch every time we see teams touring to India. More so when it is England or Australia. So I think, yeah, it's time that we move away from that. But coming to your point of having this series, I think having a five test series is something which I don't find any reservations about that in particular. Yes, the competitiveness part of it needs to be looked upon from teams who are coming or who are visiting. Because until unless you keep it competitive, until unless you put up a fight, or until unless you're trying to be adaptable, you're trying to show that you're really invested in that series, no amount of tests or test series are going to work. And eventually, then we'll have series which will have only two tests or at a maximum three tests. So, and that is something I think which again doesn't give enough time for the teams or the players to express themselves properly. Because when it comes to the test format, I think players need time to just set their eye in, set themselves in. So it's important to give them time, that perspective. So, but yeah, I think from the point of view of skill set and you can say technical adaptability, it's important that the team start to prioritize that rather than talk about issues which are not that much of relevance.
Absolutely. And next, for India, we have Bangladesh coming, in September, October. Then New Zealand tours us in November. Then we have the all-important Border Gavaskar Trophy as well. So are you excited and, looking forward to that? Because when you look at it from a World Test Championship POV, I mean, we're in a good position. But again, these are important series to win, right?
Yes, these are crucial. The World Test Championship final is still, I think, it is still quite far away. So these series will have some relevance to of how things in the WTC final are going to play out. But I think before that, we are playing so much of T20 cricket that it's just not possible to be able to you can say ignore that. We have the IPL coming in, we then have the T20 World Cup coming in. So yeah, I think lot of cricket coming up, and at like from you can say from a fan point of view, sometimes feel again quite lucky that we are able to we have so much of cricket happening around us. But again, yes, I think I think it's too early to talk about what's going to happen in the series after the World Cup, because a lot of dynamics are going to change. This is what I feel after the T20 World Cup ends. So yeah, I think we have to wait and watch of how things unfold in the team, and hopefully we are able to continue our good form in the upcoming series. And as you rightly mentioned, I think the Border Gavaskar Trophy one of the highly you can say publicized and prioritized series. So that will hold, I think, a lot of relevance, considering Australia is also in the mix for the WTC finals. So I think that is one of series which I'll be looking forward to very, you can say, eagerly. But yes, I think we're able to just continue and take a good form forward, irrespective of the dynamics in the team changing.
Definitely. But as fans, I think we have a lot to look forward to. And even as we reach the end of our discussion, do you have any last and final thoughts for the listeners?
Okay, so first of all, I think as I mentioned before, this was a very it was a very delightful experience of interacting with you throughout this series. I think five test series also became a good opportunity for us as fans to talk so much about cricket, because as I mentioned before also in the conversation, I think test match allows you so much more to analyze, to basically just try and see of how things are unfolding. And there is so much happening in each session, and then it's spread across 5 days. Definitely none of the games went that far, but even then I think there is so much to talk about, so much to analyze, that it just was quite, you can say, a refreshing experience from that point of view. Now, and coming to the series, I think 4-1 in itself, just I think that scoreline will just give you a hint of whatever transpired in the last 2 months. There is no moral victory. I think the English management also have conceded that the whole bats ball was completely exposed in India. So I think that scoreline will give you a good picture of whatever has happened in the last 2 months. But yeah, quite happy with the team's performance. Really happy that I was able to watch one of the games live from the stadium, and was also able to witness some of the you can say milestones live, which I'm going to cherish for rest of my life. I really enjoy watching Test cricket, more so live from the stadium, and it was quite you can say amazing to do that as well. So yeah, I think we end like it was a good series ending on a winning note. And yeah, I think that's it. Really hope that we can looking forward to have more conversations with you in the future.
Definitely, Lakshad. I think so far in my experience, interacting with people about Test cricket, I think the chat conversations with you, on the podcast and off record have been really incredible and special. There's just so much to take away every single time. And yeah, I'd like to thank you on that note for, joining me on the podcast for these five lovely episodes and test matches. No one better to discuss this with. And yeah, fingers crossed that we will have a lot more collaborations coming ahead as well. And until next time, stay safe and take care. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads and @NeverInTheBack1 on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Never on the Back Foot is also on YouTube, so don't forget to subscribe to the channel and stay tuned for a lot of insightful content coming up there as well. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.